Good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Thank you for joining us on this January 25th. Today is the feast of the conversion of St. Paul. Let's kick off the program with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father, we thank you for giving us this day. We ask you to bless us, to bless those around us, to remind us that you are with us no matter where we go. Please help us to live out this day the way you would want us to live it out. We turn our lives over to you. We surrender to your will, Father in heaven. And as we get closer to this March for Life, which occurs on Friday, we offer a prayer to end abortion. Lord God, I thank you today for the gift of my life and for the lives of all my brothers and sisters. I know there is nothing that destroys more life than abortion. Yet I rejoice that you have conquered death by the resurrection of your Son. I am ready to do my part in ending abortion. Today I commit myself never to be silent, never to be passive, never to be forgetful of the unborn. I commit myself to be active in the pro-life movement and never to stop defending life until all my brothers and sisters are protected and our nation once again becomes a nation with liberty and justice, not just for some, but for all. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That prayer comes from Priests for Life, and you can find out more about that. We'll have a link to that at spiritinthemorning.com. This is important. It's important to pray each day to end abortion. Today on the program, we're going to be joined in just a few minutes by Father Frank Pavone, the National Director of Priests for Life. Father was supposed to be with us yesterday, but because of all the extreme weather in the area, his flight got delayed. He was flying in from California. His flight got delayed. He felt very bad about it, and he wanted to be back on the air with us today. So we have him on the show to talk about the importance of getting involved in the pro-life movement, especially, you know, the March for Life is coming up this Friday. There's an opportunity for each of us to take a stand for life. So Father's going to talk about that. Later on in the show, we'll be joined by a good friend, and a man, just an excellent spiritual writer, Dan Burke. Dan is the executive director of the National Catholic Register newspaper. He also wrote a great new book, Into the Deep, Finding Peace Through Prayer. Fantastic book. Dan's going to share some advice for how we can improve our prayer life, how we can make the most out of our prayer life. You definitely want to stick around for that. We have the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. We have a message from the Holy Father, Pope Francis, from yesterday's homily when he said, getting angry at God is normal. Can it even be prayer? So we'll talk about that. If that's not enough, and I think it should be enough, but if that's not enough, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Parker is here with us. David,
thank you, Gary.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm exhausted. That was a lot to cover.
Yes, it was.
Oh, man. We got a really big show today. Yesterday, we had Raymond Arroyo here. Wasn't that a great program?
Yes. I was thinking about that all day yesterday. Yeah. Raymond's awesome.
He is. And I was talking to my wife, Eileen, about this last night. Thanks to Raymond and his series of books about Mother Angelica and sharing so much about Mother, we learned so much about her. And
Knowing
about Mother helps me tremendously, especially as you fight the fight every day. Mm-hmm. You get angry. Well, Mother got angry, too. She had a pretty fierce temper.
She was pretty feisty.
That's right. But yes, she believed that the Lord could use that, and he did use that. And it's the same thing. So I'm very grateful that Raymond was able to come on the show with
us. What struck me, again, was how she was such a contemplative.
Mm.
2 hours a day before the Blessed Sacrament in adoration. Wow.
And that's why I wanted to, and if you didn't catch the interview, you could catch it on spiritinthemorning.com. Check that out. We do have the podcast up. That's why I wanted to ask Raymond. Sure, Mother got inspired by the Holy Spirit, and she went with these inspirations, but she just wasn't doing it blindly. She really knew the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And she knew when he was calling her to do something.
She totally relied on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And by the way, Mr. Parker,
yes, Mr.
today is a feast day, so you know what that means.
All right, here comes the bell.
That's right. We ring the bell for the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. We're going to do something a little extra special today because this is the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. I mean, you look at the life of St. Paul. Here's a guy that was persecuting Christians.
Mm-hmm.
He encountered Jesus, and all of a sudden, he becomes an apostle. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. Of all the guys that Jesus could have chosen, why St. Paul?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But the good news is, if he could use St. Paul, He can use me. He can use you. He can
Absolutely.
Use all of us.
Yeah.
And we're going to read the first reading today instead of the gospel. Typically, I read the gospel every day, but this first reading from today's Daily Mass tells the story of St. Paul encountering Jesus on the road to Damascus, and I really wanted to share that.
I was going to say, Saul of Tarsus was such a devout Jew. He took up the gauntlet of protecting his faith at the time, until that time, and that ended up in persecution of this new sect called the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord would have none of that, and he appeared to him. We know the story, and you're going to go further into that. But wow, what an epiphany he had.
Yeah, and the beautiful thing about St. Paul, Dave, and I'm glad you brought that up, the beautiful thing about Paul, he was passionate about persecuting Christians.
Absolutely.
Now, and he was trying to do the right thing. Paul was a Pharisee. He was a devout Jew. He was trying to do the right thing,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus took that passion, that
mm-hmm.
drive, that energy,
mm-hmm.
and he channeled it. And I think that's the important thing for all of us to remember. If you're somebody who's always
Beautiful.
Losing
yeah.
your temper, if you're always flying off the handle, the Lord can use that. And he's not necessarily going to change your temperament. I think for years I was just hoping that he would change my temperament and just make me so easygoing that I got along with everybody. I never had any problems.
Wait, don't
anybody.
You?
Hey, hey, you got a problem with me,
yeah,
Dave?
Yeah. What you talking about?
But the Lord was able to channel that, and fortunately, thank you, Lord, he has me on a different path now, and he has me being able to do this morning show and being able to go out and speak around the country and share the good news. So I'm really grateful
mm-hmm.
about that.
Mm-hmm.
Without any more delay, let's take a look at this first reading today for the conversion of St. Paul. This is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, verses 3 through 16. Incidentally, there are three times in the Acts of the Apostles where this story of Paul's encounter, or Saul, as he was known at the time, of his encounter with Jesus. It's mentioned three times. This encounter is detailed in the first person. So in other words, these are Paul's words. And there's a reason that I chose this reading. The church gives us a couple of different options for today, but there's a reason I chose this one. Let me get right to it. From the Acts of the Apostles, Paul addressed the people in these words. I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city. At the feet of Gamaliel, I was educated strictly in our ancestral law and was zealous for God, just as all of you are today. I persecuted this way to death, binding both men and women and delivering them to prison. Even the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify on my behalf. For from them I even received letters to the brothers and set out for Damascus to bring back to Jerusalem in chains for punishment those there as well. On that journey, as I drew near to Damascus about noon, a great light from the sky suddenly shone around me. I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I replied, Who are you, sir? And he said to me, I am Jesus, the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. My companions saw the light, but did not hear the voice of the one who spoke to me. And I asked, What shall I do, sir? The Lord answered me, Get up and go into Damascus, and there you'll be told about everything appointed for you to do. Since I could see nothing because of the brightness of that light, I was led by hand by my companions and entered Damascus. A certain Ananias, a devout observer of the law, and highly spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and stood there, and said, Saul, my brother, regain your sight. At that very moment I regained my sight, and I saw him. Then he said, The God of our ancestors designated you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear the sound of his voice. For you will be his witness before all to what you have seen and heard. Now why delay? Get up and have yourself baptized and your sins washed away, calling upon his name. That is an incredibly powerful reading, isn't it? That's the account of Saul of Tarsus, otherwise known as St. Paul, encountering Jesus for the first time. There's a lot going on there, and incidentally, we will have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Check out that reading. Really meditate on it today, because this is a message for each one of us. He was zealous for God. So in other words, he's trying to do the right thing, But he was persecuting the movement, the early Christian movement. It was called the Way. And then that's what he was talking about when he's talking about the Way. Binding both men and women. He's grabbing men and women, trying to persecute them and lock them up to punish them for following Jesus Christ. What happened? On the journey, on the road to Damascus, Jesus encountered him personally. He reached out to him. He met him where he was. And sometimes we hear it said that he was knocked off of his horse, but that's not specifically mentioned in Scripture. But this voice said to Paul, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, did Saul know Jesus? No, because he said, "Who are you, sir?" He encountered Jesus, didn't know him. And then Jesus said, "I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting." Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus, or so he thought. He was persecuting Christians. But Jesus so identifies with his church that when Paul persecuted Christians, Jesus knew that he was persecuting him. Paul did something I think we all need to do today. You want to get to know Jesus? Who are you, Lord? Jesus, who are you? I don't know you. Very important question to ask. Then Jesus revealed himself. I am Jesus the Nazarene. The next thing Paul said, and this is so important for us to ask today, what shall I do, sir? Lord, what do you want me to do today? A lot of times we want to just bombard Jesus with all of our needs. Very good. He wants us to do that. But it's got to move beyond that. And at some point, we should be willing to say to Jesus, Jesus, what do you want from me? Here's what you can do for me. We have no problem with that. But Lord, what can I do for you? And he did that. And the Lord told him, get up, go into Damascus, and essentially wait for further instructions. I know we like to have all the details of our life planned out. But once you start following Jesus, it generally doesn't work that way. What he does is he gives us what we need to know for that day. So today, imitate St. Paul. Ask for St. Paul's intercession if you struggle with this, because sometimes it's hard to say to the Lord, Lord, what do you need me to do today? How can you use me? And then look for the advice of the Holy Spirit to come to you and try to follow 1 minute at a time if you have to. And remember, if Jesus used St. Paul to become the apostle to the Gentiles, and yes, this is recognized as an apostle feast. St. Paul wasn't one of the 12 original apostles. He was called to be an apostle directly by Jesus. An apostle is someone who is sent to proclaim the good news. Guess what? Because we were baptized and we're Christians, we are all called to do the same thing. So the question comes, the question remains, what can I do to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around me today? That's, I think, the question that I plan to ask myself. I know Dave will be asking himself, and I think we should all ask ourselves, Lord, what can I do for you today? The world's a dark place. We need to remember that. People need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to be joined by Father Frank Pavone, who's going to talk about the importance of getting involved in the pro-life movement, specifically the March for Life. Why should I get involved and go to the March for Life? Well, you don't want to miss what Father Frank Pavone has to say. Later in the show, Dan Burke's going to talk about prayer. We got so much more in store for you. Your time right now is 7:13. Grab a cup of coffee, relax, stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for January 25th. Today we celebrate the conversion of St. Paul. Not many saints are remembered for the moment of their conversion, but few saints are like Paul, and few have as dramatic an experience as he did when he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. In an instant, Paul saw that he had misused the zeal of his dynamic personality to zealously harass all Christians and all that Jesus stood for. In one moment, Paul became a slave of Christ, whose goal was to be a minister of reconciliation and an instrument to help others experience Jesus. It was one sentence that moved him. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. In an instant, Paul realized that Jesus was, in fact, the mysterious fulfillment of all he had been blindly pursuing. From that moment on, Paul tirelessly proclaimed and lived out the message of the cross. Paul's writings can be hard to understand and appreciate, but who could question the meaning and beauty of his oft-quoted words in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which begin, "Love is patient, love is kind." There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. Let it rise above the four winds, caught up in the heavenly sound. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this.
Sing it. children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns.
And that was He Reigns by the Newsboys. I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Your time right now is 7:20. As you know, it's a big week. Monday was the day of prayer for the for unborn children, and Friday is the March for Life. So this is a week when we really should be thinking pro-life. Yesterday we had Father Frank Provone scheduled to be on the program, but due to the weather situation, we had a lot of nasty weather around. Father was delayed. His flight was delayed. He was flying back from California. Father is kind enough to come back today. He is with us now to talk a little bit about what we can do to become people of life. Does it matter what I do? I'm only one person. What can I do? Father Frank Provone joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Father Provone. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I am well. I am energized, excited. This is a great week, and I'm sitting right here. I'm looking at the Supreme Court and at the Capitol building right here from our Washington, D.C.
Wow.
Priest for Life office.
Father, thank you for all the work you do on behalf of life. And, you know, you've been such a tireless warrior against, trying to build up this culture of life. Father, you know, I briefly read from your book, Abolishing Abortion, How You Can Play a Part. Excellent book, incidentally, and I recommend it highly. You talked about, and I mentioned this on the show briefly, you said, many friends ask me, what is our first spiritual duty regarding the abortion issue? And you said, they think I'm going to answer prayer, but actually the answer is repentance. Father, they are tough words. And it really touched me, right? It touched me when you said it. Could you talk a little bit about that? Oftentimes we say, I don't know what to do, but maybe we do know what to do.
We really do. You know, this is a matter of being aware that abortion is our responsibility, plural.
Right.
It's no such thing as a private abortion. You know, Scripture, from the beginning to the end, says that when a human life is taken, it's the responsibility of everyone in that land to either refrain from doing it or to do all they can to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
And here we've got millions upon millions, tens of millions of babies that have been killed. And it's on our land. They're part of our community. They're part of our responsibility. So when we say repent of what? Well, people may have had some direct or indirect involvement in abortion. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the point is that we're all involved. So do I repent? I need to repent of my silence.
Wow.
You know, have I spoken up for these children? I need to repent of my fear for being involved. Maybe, did I have the chance to volunteer at a pregnancy center or go to a pro-life march or write a letter or send an email to Congress or do any of the numerous things that each one of us can do? If we refrain from doing that, that's what we have to repent of, because the moment is now to save these lives, change our public policy so that we protect them. Realizing it's our responsibility, that's step one.
And I think that's so important, Father. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's what moved me. I remember reading something you said years ago when I was very apathetic. I mean, here I am thinking I'm a great Catholic, very apathetic about the pro-life movement. And I read something that you said that really touched me. And you said, one day we're all going to be judged and have to stand before the Lord and have to account for why we didn't do something to save these lives. That moved me.
Well, you know, our Lord, God, when Cain first killed Abel, it was the first murder in human history. And remember what Cain, what God asked of Cain, he said, where's your brother?
Mm.
And now God knew full well where his brother was. His brother had just been killed. But he asked Cain where he was, and that reflects what we're saying here. Cain was responsible for his brother, and when he said, I don't know, am I my brother's keeper, that is the response that rings through the centuries. Now, I'm looking right now at the Supreme Court. In 1973, on January 22nd, and that's why the March for Life is this week, is on or around January 22nd,
mm-hmm.
This court that I'm looking at right now was asked by God, where is your brother? Will you protect the unborn children or not?
Right.
And what the court said was Cain's answer, I don't know. They literally said in that decision, we don't know if this is a human life or not. And therefore, we absolve ourselves of the need to protect it. And that's the answer that God does not want to hear, neither from the court 44 years ago, nor from us today.
Wow. And I think that's so important what you're saying. You're shifting the responsibility from it's somebody else's problem to
right.
it's my problem. And that, you know, Father,
right.
that's what I need to hear. I need to hear that. Now, we have the March for Life coming up on Friday here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. There's a large delegation traveling to Washington, D.C. But somebody might be listening saying, I don't know. Should I go? Why should I participate? What would you say to that person who maybe is on the fence and doesn't know whether or not they should go to the March for Life?
There are a few things to consider. First of all, the impact it will have on you. You will grow in your convictions. When you express them publicly, they get stronger. Secondly, you will encourage the rest of the pro-life community, people from the church, people from places all across the nation. When they see you and the more people they see marching with them, the more they are encouraged in their commitment. And thirdly, the government as well as the media will see you. This march is covered. It is broadcast. It will be seen by many people. People will be counting the numbers. And the bigger the crowd is, the more the message gets across the country and indeed around the world that the American people are not standing idly by while tens of millions of children are killed. And you know who else notices? The government notices.
Mm-hmm.
Last night I was privileged to be at two special events. First, a reception for the new members of Congress. And we welcomed them, and we prayed for them, and we congratulated them, and we talked with them about our commitment to defend the unborn. And then from there, I went to a dinner meeting with Justice Clarence Thomas, a justice of the Supreme Court. And in both of those meetings, it was very clear to me, these men and women who serve at the highest levels of government, they're very much aware of the event that's going to take place Friday. They will see the marchers. And coming here is an encouragement to them to continue to work for legislation and to issue just court decisions that will protect life.
Wow. Wow. So it is a very great opportunity for all of us. Father, I'm going to ask you, and I know you're very busy. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. I'd love to have you on again to talk more about this. I admire the work that you do, Father, and our listeners need to hear more of what you have to say. I'm going to ask for your blessing in a minute or so, but I would also like to ask you just your feeling. I have a feeling I know what you're going to say because I've heard you speak in the past, and you made me feel really good. You're optimistic, aren't you?
Very much so, very much so. And, you know, we put many pro-life people into office with this last election, including our new president.
Yeah.
And we're already seeing the results of that. He reinstituted the Mexico City policy, he even expanded on it so that our tax dollars don't fund abortion overseas. He's behind this vote that happened yesterday in Congress to remove taxpayer funding of abortion. That was a great victory. Once it goes through the Senate, he'll sign it into law.
Mm.
And he's going to announce just in a few days a pro-life Supreme Court nominee.
Wow.
To replace Justice Scalia. This is only the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
I am very, very encouraged about what's happening and what's about to happen.
And I'm so glad to hear that. And I think we all need to hear that. We need to have hope because we know the Lord's on our side, right, Father?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Before you go, can I ask you to give us your blessing?
Well, may the Holy Spirit descend upon all of us at this moment. He who is the advocate, he advocates for us. May he make us effective advocates for our youngest brothers and sisters, the children in the womb. May he bless us all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Frank Pavone, I can't express how grateful I am that you took some time out to be with us on the show today with your busy schedule. Thank you, Father. And we need to all keep you in our prayers as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, I appreciate that. I look forward to coming back.
Thank you so much. Father Frank Pavone coming to us live from Washington, D.C., where he's getting ready to be a big part of the March for Life. You can find out more about the great work that Father does by going to priestsforlife.org, as well as that prayer that I prayed at the beginning, that prayer to end abortion. That's a prayer that Priests for Life encourages us to pray every day. You can find that prayer, priestsforlife.org. Again, keep Father Frank Pavone and all of his team in your prayers, as well as all those people who are going to the march, like our own Dave Parker, who will be going to the march.
Absolutely.
Friday, right, Dave?
I can't wait.
You heard that call? You felt that need to get
absolutely,
involved?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And on the weather note, I don't know if you looked up the weather gear.
Oh, I did. We'll talk about that. How about...
I heard it was going to be like 43 and partly sunny.
That's right. So the weather forecast is looking good in D.C. No reason not to go if you're able to. Check with your local parish. A lot of parishes have buses going. The March for Life is taking place in Washington, D.C. this Friday. You can make a difference. One person can certainly make a difference, and you can be that person who will make a difference. When we come back, we're going to be talking about prayer with Dan Burke. You don't want to miss this segment. How can you spruce up your prayer life? Stay tuned, and we're going to talk right about that. Spirit in the Morning time right now is 7:30. It's time for that second cup of coffee. Grab a donut, fry up some eggs. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Congressional Republicans are heading to Philadelphia today, where they will hear from President Donald Trump at their annual policy retreat. Lawmakers will also hear from British Prime Minister Theresa May, the first time a foreign head of state will have addressed such a gathering, and football star Peyton Manning will appear. Meanwhile, administration sources say President Donald Trump will begin rolling out executive actions on immigration today. The president is expected to jumpstart his proposed wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. He's also expected to target so-called sanctuary cities and is reviewing proposals that would restrict the influx of refugees. And the head of the Knights of Malta has resigned after entering into a public dispute with the Vatican over the ouster of another top official involved in a condom scandal. Mariana Balfour, a spokeswoman for the lay Catholic order, told the AP that Matthew Festing had met with the Pope today and offered his resignation. Festing had refused to cooperate with a papal commission investigating the ouster of the Grand Chancellor, Albrecht von Bolsleger, over revelations that the order's charity branch had distributed condoms under his watch. Festing had cited the Knight's status as a sovereign entity in refusing to cooperate. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by the Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition. Their mission is to provide financial support to area crisis pregnancy homes and centers and educate the community regarding sanctity of life issues from conception until natural death.
You are listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Yeah.
was Seek First by Susan Ashton. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Today's weather is going to be mostly sunny with a high near 54 in the Delaware Valley. Tonight we're going to have a chance of showers mainly after 2 a.m. with a low around 41. Tomorrow, a chance of showers cloudy, then becoming mostly sunny with a high near 56. So how's your prayer life? Do you struggle sometimes? Do you wonder how you should pray? Is there a right way to pray? Is there a wrong way to pray? Well, our next guest is going to help us. Dan Burke is the executive director of the fine newspaper, the National Catholic Register. He's written several books. He is well known from his appearances on television and radio. And he's somebody who really, I'm going to tell you this, I know Dan, he is somebody who knows Jesus Christ personally. And when I first met Dan, I thought that was so attractive. I said, wow, this guy really knows Christ. I want to learn to know Christ just like he does. Dan has written a new book, Into the Deep, Finding Peace Through Prayer. He's with us today, and this is a fantastic book, by the way. He's with us today to share some advice on how we can spruce up our prayer life. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Gary. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Hey, brother, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Hey, Dan, listen, first of all, the book is fantastic. I highly recommend this book. We're going to put a link to it on spiritinthemorning.com. You know what I like about it? It's relatively short, less than 100 pages, but Dan, there is so much substance in this book, Into the Deep.
You know what's funny, Gary? I wrote it at the request of Matthew Kelly to write a book that would reach kind of the outer edges of the church, those who are kind of not sure about their faith and who maybe are a little tentative about entering into a life of prayer.
Yeah,
what's been a surprise to me, even last night, I received a note from a priest, someone who'd been through seminary, who just gushed about it. Deacons, religious, and it's really struck a chord. And I have to say this, Gary, I think that's not because of me. I think that's because it reflects the wisdom of the saints and the teaching of the church in a concise, simple, and I think above all practical way.
Yes.
Kind of a hallmark of your writing and your work is that you're a very practical man. And I think that sometimes when we're writing books on prayer in the spiritual life, we can forget to bring it down to a level where somebody can say, okay, what do I do? When I set this book down this morning, what do I do next? And I think that's why it's resonating with folks across the country.
And it is, and I thank you for writing it in that style. Now, here's the deal, Dan. Originally, when I was going to have you on and ask you the steps, let's talk about the steps, but I'm going to put you on the spot. I would love to have you on the show again, and I hope you'll be able to do that, because I don't want to rush through the book. There are so many great pieces of advice in the book. You have the various steps that you could follow. So if you're able to come on again, I would love to get you on again, because I want to take my time with what's going on. So would you be able to,
Gary? Yeah, Gary, you're a smart man because you're asking me in front of your audience.
How can I turn that down? I told you, brother, I'm going to put you on the spot. But here's the deal. Now, I've read this book, and I literally read it overnight because it's so fantastic. I could not put it down. Dan, you start off the book, and you say this: if your heart is restless like mine, there is a path to peace and joy available to you. This path can only be found in and through prayer. You know what? That's a very attractive message, because, Dan, who is not searching for peace in the world? If you could you talk a little bit about that? Peace, joy, only available through prayer?
Yeah, I mean, you know, of course, some might say, yeah, but what about the sacraments?
Right.
But for whatever reason, some of the greatest theologians in the church have echoed this, doctors of the church. For whatever reason, there are particular graces and realities that can only be had, attained, grasped, understood through prayer. St. Teresa of Avila said that, and actually Alphonsus Liguori, both spoke in very, almost harsh language, saying that if you practice mental prayer on a daily basis, your salvation can be assured, and if you don't, the opposite is true. And how could they say that? They can say that because they've watched, they've witnessed it, and they've lived it. And those that practice mental prayer stay on the narrow path. Mm-hmm. They have union with, they have a intimate relationship and a powerful relationship with God. Their minds and hearts are clear, so they stay on the path. And those that don't practice prayer, they're like folks whose windshield wipers break and they never get them fixed.
Wow.
And the window gets dirtier and dirtier and dirtier, and then they find themselves off the road, into off the cliff into the canyon, and wonder how they got there. And prayer is just that beautiful gift of God that keeps the spiritual windshield of our soul clean, so that we can see and follow Him.
Wow, well put, Dan. Now, you talk about, and I think this is a common problem, so I want to address this. You talk about, in the very beginning of the book, a dialogue that you had with your youngest brother, who asked you, Dan, do you pray every day? And you replied, yes, and he asked, every day? In other words, really? You pray every day? We hear this question a lot. What would you say to the person who says, and people out there are saying this right now, I don't have time to pray every day. You really pray every day?
Yeah, I mean, if you say you don't have time to pray every day, I say that you bought a lie from the devil himself.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And he wants to keep you in that line in bondage. I mean, let's just be frank. The fact is that I run a university with students in 48 countries. I'm an executive in the largest Catholic news organization in the world.
Right.
I've written 8 books. Written or edited 8 books on spirituality since I don't know when it was I became Catholic, 2005. And so, and somebody might say, well, you know, how do you do all that? And my answer is, I don't know. You know, when you give your life to God, when you say yes to Him, mm-hmm. He makes things happen.
Yeah.
He makes the impossible happen. When you say, look, Lord, I don't know how I'm supposed to make this work. I'm so busy. I'm going to get up at 15 minutes early. He's going to honor that and give you what you need to achieve that because He's called you to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary for your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hesitate to say these sorts of things in public. But I sort of drew myself down this path.
Mm-hmm.
But I spend 2 hours a day in prayer outside
of
Mass.
Wow.
So how do you do all of that? It's not possible, but we can live a life with God of, I think, in a sense, miraculous proportion when we give ourselves to Him. And there's nothing to do with any goodness in me. The thing I realized with my brother is that he said he was thinking, I pray every day because I'm holy. And I said, Dennis, I don't pray because I'm holy. I pray because I'm not. I pray because I must.
Wow.
I pray because I need God. So when you yield to that reality, things happen. You begin to live the supernatural life that Christ has called us to, and you come to know and love Him in ways you never thought possible,
mm-hmm.
and frankly, you accomplish things you never thought possible. Gary, I think years ago when you had the vision of speaking and becoming working full-time in the church, that was impossible.
It was.
Right?
It still is, Dan. But somehow it's working, right? Yeah, you're right. I know.
Right.
Yeah, he shows up every day.
I saw you the other day, Gary.
Yeah.
And you looked pretty well fed. I mean, you know what I mean?
I guess that's a compliment, right?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I mean, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah,
you're fine. But that's because you said yes to God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You said, I want to give my entire life to you. So what's happening in your life, even if it's difficult, and it is difficult, right?
Right.
What's happening is your life, you're living that life of grace, and He's showing you the way. You're relying on Him like you never did before.
Right.
I have no doubt you're growing spiritually like never before.
That's right. That's right. And Dan, you know, I might point out that you and I saw one another when I was at EWTN, and we saw one another, we ran into each other walking into the chapel to pray before the Blessed Sacrament. So we both know where we need to be, and that was really cool. You obviously are a man of prayer, and that's why you're able to do what you do. We realize it's not us, and I think that's the first thing the Lord makes us aware of. Dan, quickly, I think that, because we're up against a break, we have about 2 minutes left, I oftentimes, and I know this was the case with me for so many years, people oftentimes don't appreciate prayer and understand what it really is. It's not simply just asking God for what you need. That's one part of it, but it's a lot deeper than that, isn't it?
It is. There's way more to prayer than just asking. And a lot of the reason why people don't understand, don't know the depths of prayer is because they have a false understanding of prayer, and they don't understand the normal path of ever-deepening union with God. And so they think, well, yeah, I go pray and I ask for stuff and I don't get it, and I kick the vending machine and shout at it because I put in my quarter, but I didn't get what I asked for. Well, can you imagine treating your spouse that way?
Right, exactly. Exactly. So that's important. Prayer is really a relationship. It's a relationship with the Lord. It's something we're all called to do. If we don't know how to pray, and we have about 30 seconds left, and see, I knew we'd run over time because this is so powerful. If you don't know how to pray, we could start by asking the Lord, Lord, help me, right? Lord, teach me to pray. And actually, that question has been asked before, hasn't it, in the Gospels?
Yeah, the disciples asked that to Jesus. And he said, well, let me show you. He said, don't do this, because this is a bad way to pray. That was the first thing he said. Then he said, let's pray this way. And I'd love to come back and spend more time with you on how we can learn from the saints to pray.
Brother, thank you so much. Definitely. Into the Deep is the book. Dan Burke. We're going to have his information link at spiritinthemorning.com. Dan, thank you so much. And I can't wait to talk to you again, brother. God bless you.
You too.
Thanks. Dan Burke will be right back on Spirit of the Morning. We have a special guest in the studio.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit. Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
Forget and take for granted that it's the beautiful life we
And that was Every Good Thing by the Afters. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. Currently in Bend, Salem, it's 43 degrees. In Coatesville, it's 41 degrees. And across the river in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, it's 42 degrees. My thanks to Father Frank Pavone and Dan Burke for joining us on the program today. We got a jam-packed show today, and it's great to be with you here in the morning. Thanks for making us a part of your morning. I just want to let you know that tomorrow on the show, we're going to be joined by Bear Wozniak. We're going to check in with him from Florida. He's going to fill us in with what's going on in his life. On Friday, we're going to have 3 live reports, maybe even more, direct from the March for Life in Washington. Next week on the show, Dr. Kevin Vost will join us to talk about the Holy Spirit. Tuesday, Dr. Ray Guarendi, one of our favorites, will be here, favorite of the Holy Spirit radio listeners. Johnette Benkovic will be here on Wednesday. Colleen Kelly Mast on Thursday. And then on Friday, Father Jeffrey Kirby will be here to talk about prayer. So we got lots of good things for you. And again, you could follow us online at spiritinthemorning.com. Time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. This is one that is a very simple verse from the Book of Wisdom, Wisdom 19:22. And incidentally, all of these verses come from my new book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. This is a book I've always wanted to write, a daily devotional. So if you're a worrier, this book was written for you. But today's verse, for every way, Lord, you magnified and glorified your people. Unfailing, you stood by them in every time and circumstance. I need to hear that verse. You know why? Because when I'm panicking about what's going on in my life, the problems, the troubles, the uncertainty, all I need to do is look back throughout the pages of sacred scripture, look back throughout my life, and what I realize is, hey, none of my problems killed me yet. The Lord was there for me. That is a powerful but simple message for all of us. Again, that's going to be linked at spiritinthemorning.com. In case you need a refresher, that verse again, for every way, Lord, you magnified and glorified your people, unfailing, you stood by them in every time and circumstance. As I always like to say, you are not alone. Okay, so it's a special day here on Spirit in the Morning. We have a visitor. I love it when we have visitors. Not only because we get to meet some really cool people, but because we get donuts. We've got a live box of donuts from the Yum Yum Donut Shop, I hope. Now, Dave Parker, I don't know if Dave's been partaking in the donuts.
I was out there.
Oh, great. Now, Frank was getting the donuts. But we are really privileged today. We're privileged to be joined by Matt Gambino, who is the editor of CatholicPhilly.com. Matt, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you, Gary, for having me over.
So how are we doing so far?
We're doing great. I'm enjoying the experience.
Matt said he wanted to come and see what it is we do here. I'm not sure what it is we do here, but
really?
All I know is we got Dave Parker out of the co-pilot seat for the time being, which, I don't know. I'm sorry, Dave. I'm not going to give
altitude?
You a hard But Matt, tell us a little bit about, you know, I grew up in Northeast Philadelphia. The Catholic Standard and Times was a big part of my life growing up. The CatholicPhilly.com is the online, basically the online version of what used to be known as the Catholic Standard and Times, correct?
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
Well, the mission of the Catholic Standard continues on mm-hmm. CatholicPhilly.com.
Right.
And that mission has always been to inform, to form in the Catholic faith, and to inspire our readers.
Right.
Now, that may be Catholics who have been dyed-in-the-wool, long-time Catholics of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, but more than ever, it's people not only within the Archdiocese but outside the Archdiocese as well. As the digital means has really grown over the years, we're reaching a much bigger audience than we ever had in print.
Wow.
And I think that we also have a way of reaching people who may not be regular churchgoers, may not be active in their faith.
Yeah.
We're a way of being able to inspire them through the example of other really good Christians living their faith, and to inform them about their world, but also to give them some tools for living their Catholic faith in today's world.
And that's so important, to meet the people where they are.
Exactly. I think we have a mission and an obligation to go out to people where they are, to talk to them about the issues that they're facing today with their families and their communities.
Right. And we look at the example today. We celebrate the conversion of St. Paul. Look at what Jesus did. He certainly met Paul where he was. He
Definitely.
Wasn't looking to meet Jesus, but he did. And that's really what you guys are doing, bringing faith, really combining faith and news. I think that's so important. We need to go somewhere where we can have a trusted news source, right?
That's right, especially for local news. You know, you can find stories on national and world issues in many different ways.
Right.
But I really think we have a particular mission to tell what's going on, what's the good news mm-hmm. going on in our own southeastern Pennsylvania community.
Yeah.
And that's a great part of our mission because there are so many good stories happening out there. You know, I think there are a lot of good things happening in our world, a lot of good things happening in our families and in our communities. And that's our job to tell those good stories, to let people know.
Right. Now, if somebody goes to CatholicPhilly.com, give me an example of what types of things they could find there.
Well, local news is our bread and butter.
Right.
So they're going to find things not only about maybe some of the things the Archbishop Chaput is doing mm-hmm. around the Archdiocese, mm-hmm. but local parish life, local people, what they're doing. So there might be an event such as the Catechist Mass. There's a mass and an award ceremony for religious education teachers. Well,
right.
Most of our children are in some sort of religious education program on the parish level.
Sure.
Now, that was an event that happened. What we're going to find is the little kernels in there that you might not find, even if you'd seen this in a parish bulletin somewhere, like the two sisters who are 10 years apart.
Yeah.
They grew up in the faith, but now they are teaching other children. They've been doing this for over 20 years as DREs and religious education teachers. Just little kernels that we try to pull out from a news story.
Well, and those type of stories, those stories inspire me because as I'm trying to walk with the Lord each day, I like to hear about other people who are on the same journey.
Correct.
Right? We're all hoping to get to the same place one day, and it's really great to see what's going on in the Archdiocese. And I especially like the fact that you have the message from Archbishop Chaput.
Yes.
So we can hear what our shepherd is telling us.
That's right. I mean, he has a kind of a – he's creatively provocative.
Exactly.
So that he's going to tackle a current issue, but he's going to do it as a man of faith, as a teacher in the faith.
Right.
And he's going to have something really important to say to us. So we always try to lead with that when he has that message in his mm-hmm. column. And there's that. There's the local news. There are spiritual resources to try to help people on their spiritual journey. There's a piece on there today about making time to pray for busy people.
Whoa.
So you have a busy lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
Try to find ways of integrating prayer throughout your life. We have, of course, the stories on what's happening at the Vatican, about our teachings of our faith. We have stories on sports in the area, especially from the Philadelphia region. It's such a rich tradition of local sports.
Sure, sure. Wow. So definitely check out CatholicPhilly.com. We will have a link on SpiritInTheMorning.com. Man, I'll tell you, this was an action-packed hour.
Absolutely.
I can't believe we're just about out of time. Matt Gambino, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Gary,
on
very
the program.
Much.
And we're going to go eat some donuts after the show, right, guys?
Oh, boy.
Let's close with our closing prayer for the day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, who taught the whole world through the preaching of the blessed Apostle Paul, draw us, we pray, nearer to you through the example of him, whose conversion we celebrate today, and so make us witnesses to your truth in the world. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So
Amen.
I really want to thank you for tuning in today. Remember to spread the word about Spirit in the Morning. Let your friends know that we are here. And if you have any comments about the show, or if you'd like to invite me out to your parish to speak, I would love to do that. You can email me directly at gary@holyspiritradio.org. I hear my music. That means it's time for me to get on out of here and eat some donuts and grab some coffee. Tune in again tomorrow when we bring you another program. Bear Wozniak will be our guest. And remember, wherever you go today, don't forget the Lord is with you. You know the deal. Turn around and say hi. God bless you.